This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLAV, that's Believe, for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BLAV. Bet Online. The game starts here.
Of Mickey Loomis. He said at the start of the season, Mickey is doing a great job. I'm like, what part of that is a great job when we've missed the playoffs for 3 years straight? How is he doing a good job, bro? That just shows me that they're not doing any evaluations. Mickey doesn't do any evaluations during the season. It's laughable. But accountability has to come. It has to fall somewhere before it to start with our offensive coordinator. And not the head coach, even though the coach is talking like that now, he's gotten guys as accountable. And in previous interviews, Dennis Allen did say that he's hoping that that catch from what the offense is doing catches on with the rest of the team. So he understands that. So you got to understand your limitations. Now, I understand him giving the offense to Clint Kubiak and say, hey, man, do this, handle this, do that. But you could have seen a different effect last year had you had more of a hands-on role with Pete Carmichael, even if you took him, force him to step down or have the other guy to call the plays just to see if a change would happen. That's what coaches do. They come in and make adjustments here, there, and see if things change, create a spark. Perhaps something happens there. You know, it's very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. He ain't going nowhere. You're right, Matt, a drummer. Mickey's not going nowhere. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Now you don't have to fire Mickey Loomis. I'm not saying that because he's a good VP. He just stinks as a general manager. That's my point. There is other people that can get the general manager job. And we need more people with football knowledge at the top of the Saints organization. That's not named Dennis Laucha or Gail. Gail is the owner. She's the governor. Laucha should be the chief financial officer or the chief. He can't be the CEO because that's also Gail's title. But maybe the chief financial officer. He's the money guy. He don't know nothing about these sports. He shouldn't be president of the Saints or the Pelicans, and he don't know nothing about these sports enough to govern or evaluate any of these people. You know, Thomas says, you think Gil would ever move on these guys over the Saints and the Pelicans? No. That's how David Griffin, who's a snake oil salesman, and Mickey Loomis could do what they do because they know she don't know. They know she don't know. And they know he know the guy above him is not going to do anything to him. He know that. Mickey Loomis, didn't he tell you early in the year that he's going to be here? He can see himself doing being a general manager for the next 10 years. And Mickey is what, 70 years old for real? What is he, 65 or something like that? So you're going to be a 70-year-old general. It's just it's absolutely laughable. But in the end, man, that's what I'm saying. Things could get the shaking and baking if the Saints don't get this right. But we need accountability, and it is a positive in my book that Dennis Allen is talking like this. And be honest, thank you, Thomas, for that. It's a positive to me. Listen, a lot of people don't like Dennis Allen, and I get it. You know, but at the end, Dennis Allen is talking the right way. He is. He's talking the right way. He's saying the things that we want to hear, and he's saying it a lot. Like, it's a mindset change, like attention to detail and accountability. You need that to win. So, I mean, I got to give him credit for that, man.
That was the difference. Now, how you do that, you know, Greg Williams was, you know, hell of a defensive coach. Tony Dungy was a great defensive coach and a head coach, you know. I'd say they probably did it two different ways, you know, but both effective. But the accountability factor is the key.
The accountability factor is the key. Once again, Dennis Allen says it again. The accountability factor is the key. See what I'm saying? He said it again. He sprinkles it in there, but he's saying the right stuff. Now let's see him carry it out. So like I say, I'm give Dennis Allen, because Dennis Allen is saying the right stuff. I'm going to give Dennis Allen, let Dennis Allen, hey, man, you're saying the right stuff. Let's see if you can make it stick. But he's saying the right stuff.
Greg used more words than Tony.
I would say different words. Yeah, different words for sure. All right. All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, so there go Dennis Allen, man. So he's speaking right. Account, like he said, mentioned it in this interview multiple times, accountability and attention to detail. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's a positive. That's what we need. We need that, you know, in the team. We really do. You know, I wish we had it further up in the organization, but, you know, we got this weird thing going on, like some mafia family type thing going on right here. You know what I'm saying? You know, and Mickey's a made man. That's when you start using mafia verbiage. Yeah, we got Gail Don up there. She's, you know, Gail's the Donis. She's the Donis. You know, Laucha is the Capo. And Mickey's a made man. That's you can't. I've said it a lot about the Saints organization. Reminds me of it's a mafia family. Nobody's doing any evaluations at the highest level. You know that Mickey's a made man. He can't be touched. Mickey's a made man. How about that? All right. Anyway, we're gonna go over to Chris Olave. Shout out to y'all, man, for being here. You know, shout out Brother Wallace says, why Mickey Loomis do not want to win a winning team. He should do everything in his power to have a winning team. It says something about that pressure situation. When you got pressure on you, man, it's a whole nother world. You know, it forces you to think a little longer about the decisions that you make. But when you know that ain't no pressure, then you have this kind of this comfortable environment, then things, you know, they kind of lose a little sight. But pressure makes things a lot. It shakes things up. Slim says, honestly, Sean Payton ran this team. Mickey Loomis was really exposed right now. Yeah, we uncovered a lot of that. Mickey Loomis, like I said, is a good VP, but general manager wise, he's been falling down for a while. And that's true. Sean Payton covered up a lot of the minuses the Saints have. If you go back to Sean Payton, really was a de facto general manager. He told Mickey Loomis what to do, and Mickey Loomis would go and do it. He told Mickey Loomis what players he wanted, and Mickey would go and get them. And that was the gift of Mickey. Mickey did not turn Sean down. If Sean Payton wanted something, he would go get it for him. And that was his gift. But then when you seen Sean Payton take his leave and Dennis Allen step there, those are totally two personalities altogether. Because Sean Payton was more of a get it done type of guy. Then he had all those leadership abilities. He was a bit of a, you know what, as well. But Dennis Allen is a guy he has a laid back approach. He's not a hands on guy. He's not, you know, he wasn't big on accountability, attention to detail. And you could tell, and it showed in his teams. That's why some of these games, the Saints were there. Some of these games, the Saints wasn't there. You know, like I said, you cannot get away from that. You can't get away from the coach. His energy and aura is over the team. The team goes as far as the coach takes them. It's not the opposite way around. Even though we have all this talent, we've seen this happen in the 7-9 year. Like when we seen, it's like, man, there's no way these really good players are going to allow the Saints team to fail and fall. And they did. Because what could they do? I'm just a player, right? They got upset, like a Laddie Daddy and Elvin or a Cam. They all got upset and voiced their opinions in the way they could have voiced them, or, you know, or their actions or whatnot. But they only did as much as, you know, they felt they could do. And, you know, the team, and like I said, we can't get away from that. The team will go as far as Dennis Allen. So it's when we talk about what, you know, how far the Saints will go from a talent perspective, is based on the imagination and the decision-making of the head coach, the man that's running the team. And that's Dennis Allen, you know, like it or lump it. All right. Anthony says, I don't believe, you know what Dennis Allen is saying. He's garbage and he's trash. Nah, I mean, I think I hear you on that, bro. And I, like I said, I can't really, you know, a lot of people feel a certain way about Dennis Allen. They don't like him. He's and listen, it's not just we remember all. I remember all of it. I really do. I remember the stuff that he said at the end of the season with the 49ers game, how he threw his team under the bus. He apologized to the Niners. And I don't understand. I don't think he understands or really cares the weight of what he does. Your actions have weight. The optics of it has looked very bad for you to apologize to the Falcons, and you never apologize to any of the Saints supporters for all the trash losing that we've been doing over the last couple of years. Not even some of the worst games, the Green Bay game where the Saints allowed Green Bay to win the game and that game comes back to kick them in their tail. The Minnesota game where they had a backup quarterback that was just got there and he beat the Saints. The Atlanta game where Derek Carr threw the pick six after the bye. We had some ugly losses. Not one of those games did he ever get up there on that podium and apologize to the Who That Nation. Not one time, but he does it for the Atlanta. That sits in people's minds. See, I don't like this dude. I don't like this dude. This dude is not my coach. And people with, he's given them plenty of examples of why people don't like Dennis Allen and not enough positives to counterbalance that. You know, you've been here for 2 years. Yeah, you got 9 wins. That's the best that you did as a coach. But at the end of the day, it's still a 9 playoff year. It does no good to have 9 wins and you don't make the playoffs. You know, that doesn't help you. But, you know, it's I understand both sides. Really, I do. That's why when people say they don't believe nothing he says, I get it. I understand totally, fam. Here go Chris Olave.
Every day trying to get better. I heard it in the weight room a little bit, but it's just been in the training room trying to get right.
Just obviously new offense. Just you're a couple weeks in here with OTAs. What's your kind of impressions of this new system?
I love it, man. It's a great offense for the playmakers that we have. The West Coast offense that San Francisco ran. So we got a lot of playmakers since my first year. So let's be able to use them. And with a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of different things that we haven't ran in the past, they bring here. So I'm excited.
What do you think some of that will be able to bring out of your game as you keep trying to, you know, level up and everything?
Just being more explosive, probably more yards per catch with the space that he's putting us into, the more yards at the catch, more explosive plays for not just only me, but Sheed and AK and Taysom. So I'm excited to be able to be in the system.
I assume you think you guys can be a lot more explosive than you have been the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah, of course. It brings a lot of different things, you know what I'm saying, in the playbook, but just accountability, I feel like that's going to lead us to success.
They said the language is a little shorter. Have you found that the language that you guys use, is it about the same or is it?
It's kind of the same, money, really. Yeah. It's long plays, but it's more understanding for sure. I feel like you could get to that more understanding plays, and I feel like that's the difference.
Hayner was saying the other day, just kind of like coming into this offense after like 20 years of Breeze, and just kind of how it was just kind of built on top of each other and on top of each other is like kind of a lot to kind of take in. Do you find that like kind of tearing it down to something new, starting at like zero with everybody, it's just a little bit easier to kind of get everybody on the same page?
Yeah, I feel like it's way easier. Like you said, it was kind of more of a Drew Breeze style, the last playbook. So all credit to them, though. They built that around him, around his players, but like I said, it's more this playbook is more for matchups, and I feel like it's going to be better for us.
How do you think it's going to really take advantage of your skill sets?
Just building around the strengths that I have, you know what I'm saying, things that I can do and things that she can do, things that our players can do. It's kind of focused on what we can do and building on that. I feel like it's playing to the player's strengths, so I feel like it's going to help us a lot.
A lot of the emphasis has been around the way this offense will have a lot more speed. How has that transition been so far?
I mean, like I said, it's building around the player's strengths. So, of course, we got speed with me and Sheed and AT at receiver. So just building around that, like I said, playing to our strengths and be able to capitalize off that, I feel like it's going to help us a lot.
More so like the up-tempo aspect, you know, getting a lot of plays in less time.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely going to play a big difference. Like I said, coming from the West Coast, they're bringing that San Fran offense here. So I'm excited to be able to be a part of that.
For you personally, what's the next level look like for you? What are you trying to accomplish this year?
Just staying consistent, man. I had a couple ups and downs last year, just building off that. It's always, you're always going to work on the physical part, but being able to bounce back after a bad game, the mental aspect, just learning that last year and being able to build on that this year is a huge part.
You know, with Mike gone, do you take it upon yourself to kind of be that voice in the room or to take a step forward even further?
It's not really. I mean, everybody kind of grown in the NFL, so it's just on you to be able to have that standard. I just try to do that, lead by example. I'm not really outspoken, but just lead by example, working hard, trying to dominate every rep, and hopefully they follow after that.
And that yards after the catch, is that, you feel like that's a strength of yours that maybe wasn't utilized? I don't know if utilize is the right word, but you could show more in that category.
Yeah, it's an offense that is built around that. Just catching the ball in space, catching the ball over the middle, or even on the outside with space and separation. I feel like it's built around having yards at the catch. So I'm definitely proud to be in the system, like I said, and I'm excited.
Is that a mindset too? Like being
now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get a yard after the catch.
Of course. I mean, you don't want to get tackled by the first person. And my mindset is trying to take everything to the house, every touch. So. I definitely got to do that more, and I'll definitely try to work on that in practice.
If we can get, like I've said, man, the Saints could pretty much run whatever offense they want, to be honest with you, with the talent that we have. You know, this Kubiak style offense, man, like he said when he first, one of his first interviews, he talked about asking him why did he decide to come to New Orleans. He said because of the players. I mean, we have some great players, awesome players. Chris Olave is going to have a phenomenal year this year. Taysom Hill is going to have a solid year, probably the best season we've seen in terms of him not just being the everything guy, but you kind of focalize him to one, not one main group, but have him doing a certain thing. And then Elvin Kamara, man, one of the major benefactors that's going to be a part of this new system, if it runs similar to what we've seen in the past with the Saints, Elvin Kamara is going to have a monster year, man. I mean, by far, it'll be the biggest year of his career. And we've been waiting to see that from Elvin Kamara. He's been like, overall, his game's been there, but imagine a season like he's at 1,300 rushing yards, 600-700 catching yards, got 10 plus touchdowns running the ball, and another 7 or 8 catching the ball. His scrimmage yards are through the roof. He stays healthy behind that offense. And that could be what you see. And that's very similar, because if they're mimicking what the Niners are doing, and they are going to do some of that, then Elvin Kamara could do every bit of what Christian McCaffrey does. Probably even better. So, I mean, like I said, we have the guys, man. We have the guys. We have the guys. We have the guys. And once again, to the family members, we in the back. I don't trust Dennis Allen. Okay. But I'm saying this, the way he's talking, you need to have certain things to be able to win in this league. You have to have attention to detail. You have to have accountability. You got to have other things like leadership. You got to know when to step in to do something, when and when not. You got to know how to talk to people. You can't talk to everybody the same way. So communication is key. Knowing how to switch up the communication. Knowing, you know, not to take and choose favorites. Knowing when to criticize and when not to criticize. Knowing when to pull a guy out of there that's struggling or not doing and put the next guy in. You see, adjusting when you're supposed to. This is a lot of stuff that you got to have. But to have the foundation of accountability and attention to detail is a plus, because that guy wasn't talking like that the first couple of years. Now that's all. That's two of his favorite words all of a sudden. Now. So that is a plus based on what I've been seeing over the last couple of years from this administration, bro. Like I said, you only going to go as far as the team goes. Brother James says, Q, Dennis tried to BS us during that interview. Rattler will challenge Carr. Yeah, I kind of talked about that, trying to cover, you know, his butt and lie. He passed on a lot of great players and really challenged Carr to step up. Yeah, this and I think a lot of people, that's what I'm saying, the phenomena that's happening with Spencer Rattler. Every positive thing that Spencer Rattler do is going to be accelerated. It's going to be spoken about because the writers know that the people want to hear about Spencer Rattler. They want to hear about him. They don't want to hear about Derek Carr. And people say, oh man. And then they come with all this nonsense about people not giving Derek Carr a fair opportunity and all this kind of nonsense, man, it's a reason for everything. The majority of the people are not incorrect on this thing. Like I said, I have absolutely no problem with Derek Carr as a person. With the football player, he does the same things that he can be broken down very easily on tape, because he tends to stare down one side of the field far too often. He doesn't go through his progressions like he's supposed to. And that's clear on tape. And you're a guy that been in the league for 10 plus years and you're still doing this rookie stuff. Somebody has to stop that. And the fact that he never mentioned that, you know what? I got to stop staring guys down, man. That's really hurting us. Nobody said that. That's terrible. That's awful. It's on film countless times, you know, and then you check it down and people are like, what the hell? Why are you? And then a lot of the check downs was because he wasn't looking at all over the field. They had guys running wide open, guys one-on-one. And this gentleman on the stream right now was frustrated. Remember, he got into the altercation and all that because they were frustrated. You know, him and Derek Carr pointing at him and fussing and, you know, all this kind of stuff. What? All that happened and people sit up there and just crazy as hell, forgetful as a you know what, and sitting up there talking about, I don't know why they don't like Derek Carr. Man, dude, please. This is what the F we do here. And I'm being pro. Well, how you go, family? Help me out here. I'm trying to be pro. Profound, not profane, baby. I'm trying to be profound, not profane. Because y'all know y'all let them go on them. But like I said, I'm trying to keep the ears clean right there about other people listening. Because I've been letting them fly lately. I'm like, oh my goodness, hold on here, man. Let me kind of pull this in here. Cutting them up. Like, man, you must be fed up. Yeah, I was fed up, man. I was tired of hearing all this crap, you know, and people forgetful as hell, man. You don't, if you don't know, then go ask somebody that do. Sit up there. If you don't know, I don't know why. Well, go ask somebody that knows. They'll tell your ass the truth. They'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you the truth. This is what we do. We know this team, man. Let me tell you, inside and out, we know this team. All right, let's finish up with Mr. Olave.
Great dude, man. Some that I definitely needed, some that he relates to me just from backgrounds. And he's a great coach, great leader, motivational. And like I said, I'm excited to have him around. And for him to push me is everything that I need. So
Chris, when you're talking about, like, mentally bouncing back, you know, from tough performances or whatever, like, did you, like, try to find any resources to kind of help you figure out how to do that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's older guys that tell me that's natural. Just have bad games. But just having the standard that I have for myself and the expectations I have for myself gets hard sometimes. So just being able to be hard on yourself, but at the same time, just let it go and just bounce back for the next game is something that I learned last year.
Are you one of those guys that feels like you should always have a certain level of production, or are you okay with those certain games where the defense is so focused on you that other guys have good games and you're just running good routes and the ball's not coming there?
Yeah, I definitely was like that early in my career, especially in college. But I found out it's just about winning, really. Just trying, if you are that number one guy, just to bring that attention to you so other guys can get open. It's going to be games like that. But as long as we winning, I feel like I can control what I can control. So.
And how accustomed are you, since you've been here, in a way, since your rookie year, different games where you've been the number one guy, really? When did you really start getting used to, in the NFL, knowing that you were the primary concern for the opposing secondary?
Probably last year, really. My rookie year, I wasn't really receiver one. Mike and Jarvis was here. Kind of had to play my role until they got hurt. But probably last year when that was the focal point, it still wasn't too much attention. But some games it was kind of like that. So probably last year, that's when I learned.
Yeah, that's a great point right there. Good question by the reporter about him taking the injuries that impacted the Saints veteran-wise. So Michael Thomas, he talked about Jarvis Landry being hurt, and he was thrust into the role as the number one guy. He's been dealing with that for the last couple of years. So we know that Chris Olave is a guy that's ready for big time. He has the hands, he has the brains, he's very fast. You know, he's a cool dude. So at the end of the day, you know that if the Saints come here, they bring in a running attack along with what's happening, and then they'll have opportunities to get the ball up the field to Chris Olave. He's going to ball, man. He's going to ball. He's going to have a solid year. So, like I said, we have the guys. We have the pieces. We have the guys in place, man, to do positive things, man. All right, here's a very happy fellow as we get ready. Shout out to you guys, Uncle Paul. I see what you're saying, fam. He says Derek Carr is not going to be that much better from last year. He too stubborn to really change his QB play. For real, not him. But Clint Kubiak has been on his back, and Clint Kubiak is not going to allow him to play, you know, to be slacking on that. He's not. And that's not how he rolls, because Derek Carr is a big part of winning for the Saints. Like, of course, we get the offensive line going and we start running the ball, but Derek Carr still has to play his part. And that's what we're talking about. When Clint Kubiak was talking about his, you know, going with it, you know, and Andrew Janoco, QB coach, was saying this too, about Carr's footwork, progression. They talked about progression. They talked about footwork, and they talking about timing. And really, like I said, I didn't talk too much about Derek Carr's footwork, but they're mentioning it because it's a part of the timing thing too. They want Derek Carr to stay on time with the offense they're trying to install. If he's off time, that messes up everything. And like I said, this should, we'll see how far Carr progresses in the system, because he tends to hold the ball too long. You know, he doesn't progress through his progressions like he's supposed to. He does it sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't, which is, I mean, that's why his numbers could have been a lot better. He kind of really did that to himself, just being unfundamental. Those guys are not going to tolerate that. And I'm talking about Clint Kubiak and Andrew Janoco. Dennis Allen, that's a whole nother thing. But those guys on offense, they're going to make sure that Carr stays on code with the timing. He has to. And if he struggle mightily, man, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It really is, because there's a pressure element, even though they don't want to admit it. The organization don't want to admit it. Let me tell you something. It's not about the organization. They'll never put any pressure on themselves if it came down to that, unless you have people at the top that understood who they're doing this for. You putting this team together to make the supporters of the team excited about it, so they come to support the team. But over the last 3 years of how the team has handled the losing, and how some of the brass has spoken to the support base, that's not how you do it. That's damn sure not how you do it. So it is, it's what it is. All right. So anyway, Keith says, Carr, he says, got Carr leg broke. If I had no cover, I would be staring down receivers too. Carr's leg broke. What leg broke? What you talking about, bro? Got Carr's leg broke. Carr's leg wasn't broke. What you talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. Lewis says, I like Olave will be working on Yak. That's not his strong suit. Some of this is same with the whole offense. Yak is just a good thing to emphasize. All right, Lewis, thank you for that. Yak is a good thing. Yards after catch, especially what he was talking about, is and John Benton alluded to this when he had his interviews about how they were going to block up field. They were talking about cutting off pursuit angles, which would, if you did that, then Yak would improve because the defenders would not be able to pursue you. So they'll have a clean lanes to run through and nobody chasing them down. And that's a good thing for a guy like Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed, or Alvin Kamara, or Taysom Hill. These guys can run, and especially in the open field, you won't catch them from, you know, you won't run these guys down. It won't happen. All right. Oh, he's saying in Oakland. Oh, okay, brother. I don't really pay too much what happened to him in Oakland. All right. Thank you for that. All right, here we go. Jamal Williams.
Nostalgic vibes of what I've seen in the past, and I played like watched playing again, so I like you.
You say in relation to nostalgic feelings, a little reminiscent of a 1,000-yard, 17 touchdown season.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking for the offense wise, like I've seen this offense before, and I've seen like I've watched it, like going against it, watched it. Like I remember Raheem Mostert when he going crazy against us in Green Bay, and he's like, what? Where in the hell did this come from? That boy was going crazy. So it's that offense. I love it. So I'm good. Me likey.
When you found out that would be the offense that you guys would be
in. Me likey. I'm done. I don't even know nothing else. I'm done. Me likey. I love promotions. I love just the dressing. So I just love the dressing of this offense. It's great.
Do you feel like it's kind of re-energized the guys having something new, different?
Yeah. Attack? It's a great offense. Me likey. I'm going to just keep it at that. I can't say nothing else. I don't know. Y'all be going sound bites on everybody lately, so I'm all right. Me likey. That's all I got.
What you mean just cautious optimism, man?
Huh?
Just cautious optimism?
I'm excited. Me likey. That's all I got. I got no other words.
Is this your rendition of I'm just here so I don't get fined?
Oh, no. It's not that. I just got to be quiet. I don't know. It's like my mouth. Yeah, I don't know. See, look. He's trying to get me. Me likey.
This podcast is sponsored by Bet Online. Where the game starts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.